views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you awaken to the vibrant, powerful life you've come here to live. And by doing so, help the whole planet rebalance to a more loving and peaceful way of being. Back in January, I was a guest on the Dr. Pat Show, and we decided to do the interview on the topic of fear, and specifically on becoming a fearless parent. Now, this was not a random choice, but one based on questions, comments, and feelings that seem to be arising for so many people. There are a lot of things happening in the world right now that can make you feel vulnerable and concerned for yourself and for your child's future. Yet, living in a place of fear is exhausting. It's damaging to your vibrancy and totally unnecessary. Yes, you heard me right. Living in a state of fear is unnecessary. And today I want to share what I mean by this and give you ideas that you can use right away to start reclaiming your power and moving forwards fearlessly if this is a problem for you. Now, it's quite likely I'll need to do more than one podcast to cover this topic because there's just so much that we can talk about. But I think that's actually a good thing because it takes time to digest what you hear and start putting it into practice if you truly want to make these kinds of changes in your life. Now, I'm guessing that some of you are feeling a little defensive from my saying that fear is unnecessary. Perhaps you're already creating a mental list of all the things that I don't know about you and your situation and why they are like downright scary and totally worthy of fear. I understand this, and I am not trying to minimize your current reality. I'm also not judging you for feeling that way or even telling you that your feelings are wrong. But I am here to tell you that there is another way. With self-awareness, reconnection with your divine nature, and recognition of what is going on, you can choose to move out of fear and instead stand firmly in your power, which will change how you feel, how you react, how others react to you, what you are attracting to you, and so much more. So today, let's start by talking about what is fear. Fear is a feeling. It's hardwired into us as a response to things that appear dangerous, that feel threatening, that have hurt us in the past, or that we don't understand. When fear arises in our body, it's really sending a signal that our life might be in peril, and it's asking us to check out what is going on and, if necessary, take evasive action. But you have access to the outside world. It is literally living in the dark. It gets all of its data from your senses, your eyes, ears, mouth, nose, skin, and then the thoughts that you formulate as a result of that feedback and a few other things. Those messages are what determine what you're going to do next when your fear alarm goes off, whether you're going to stay in fight, flight, freeze mode, which is exhausting to your body, if you're going to search for more information before turning off the alarm, if you're going to recognize that something could be going on but decide to turn the alarm off anyway, or that you're going to see that all is fine. It really is a false alarm, and so you just turn off your alarm right away. Now, in an earlier episode of Vibrant Powerful Moms, I talked about the stress hormone cortisol, and I loosely explained the cascade of hormones and neurotransmitters, which are the physiological response fear causes. So I'm not going to go into that here, but for our purposes today, let's just say fear is considered a serious message that requires our immediate attention. I also want to point out that every time we experience a fear message, things happen in our body that will require some cleanup after. Kind of like how, you know how some buildings have a sprinkler system that is wired right into their fire alarm? If the alarm goes off, the sprinklers turn on to minimize damage because it's felt that even if it's a false alarm, or nope, that's not what I want to say. I'm going to go back a little bit. If the alarm goes off, the sprinklers turn on to minimize the damage. But if it is a false alarm, there is still going to be cleanup involved as a result of this immediate response. Okay, so this is the case in our bodies. This hormone cocktail is released as soon as fear is felt, as soon as that signal goes off, even though nothing has been confirmed yet. So continuing with this analogy, this means that your first reaction to fear is going to be to search for any smoke, flames, crackling that tells you there is indeed a fire or some other kind of problem. And if there's not, to turn off the sprinkler system as quickly as you can to minimize the mess. You check out the situation first by using your senses. So you look around, you listen, you smell, you feel with your skin. You do all of those things. And at the same time, this sounds very linear and it's really not, but your thoughts are also turned on. All right. And the thoughts are what allow you to turn off the alarm. So if you start thinking things like, it's okay, calm down, all's fine, relax, take a deep breath, these kinds of thoughts will turn off the alarm. Here's the problem, however. Your thoughts tend to be based on three things: what your senses tell you, your perception of the situation, and whatever previous feedback you have in your memory bank for a situation like this. So let's talk about your perception. Your perception is skewed by how much of anything you can see. If you're standing in front of a car, let's say, and the back end is totally smashed in from an accident, you might not even know. I mean, you're not there when the accident happens. You're just looking at the car, right? You might not even know that there's been an accident. You might say the car looks great. It looks like it's in good shape. If you were standing behind it, your perception would tell you something very different. If you're standing beside it, if you were looking at it from above, you're going to see different things depending on where you're standing. So what this means is that what you think is your reality isn't really the full picture. And it's going to have a huge influence on how quick you are to turn off the sprinkler system. In the meantime, your brain is also scanning for similar situations in your memory bank. And these don't even have to be your experiences. They can be TV shows, movies, stories. They could be your neighbor's situation, something you heard about. It doesn't matter. But your brain uses that information mixed with your perception to decide whether or not to turn off the alarm. Now, fear is part of a spectrum of feelings. So anxiety, nervousness, being tense, worrying, fear, of course, terror, panic, these are all on that same spectrum. If you spend a lot of time feeling any of these things, so let's say you spend a lot of time being anxious or worrying, you're much more likely to set off your alarm more easily and have those feelings and memories influence your perception, what you're seeing in the moment. So let's look at an example and see if I can make this real for you. Think of a time when something came up in your life that immediately filled you with fear. And then maybe later turned out to be no big deal at all. So I don't want you sitting here and getting caught up in your fear, right? So let's just say, for example, you're called into your boss's office and you didn't know why you were being called in. But because this wasn't a normal thing for you, you immediately felt afraid. Now, just for the record, this could also be you being at the doctor and your doctor noticing a lump and saying, what's that? We better send you for more tests. It could be you're at home, just you and your kids. You put your kids to bed and you hear this noise and you don't know what the noise is. It could be anything that fills you with fear. Now, when it first happens, this fear response is normal. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's not a sign of weakness. It is actually what makes you human. It is a signal. It's what you do after that initial shot of hormone cocktail that really makes the difference. So let's say you take a few deep breaths when this happens, you're told about your boss and you say, okay, stay calm, find out what's going on. And then maybe later on you discover that your boss just really wanted to talk to you about the real estate agent that you used to sell your house because she's thinking about selling her house. And that's really all it was. And so now you kind of laugh about it. And you think, oh, good thing I didn't get all stressed out, right? In this case, you reacted to a potential threat. You felt afraid. You used your skills to alter your perception and to calm back down. And it turns out all was fine. As a result, your body still needed to clean up some of the mess from the sprinkler system. Okay, so there was some extra cortisol, adrenaline, stuff like that. But overall, life is good and you can handle that. Now, let's imagine you've had some really bad experiences with your boss in the past. And so instead of letting go of the fear, you continue to feed it. You immediately, with your senses, try to check it out. Maybe you say to the person who told you, boss wants to see you, well, did she say why? Did she look mad? Do you think it's because of that mix-up last week? And you start trying to check it out based on how you're feeling in that moment. Your thoughts might be, oh no, she's going to fire me. I can't be fired. I'm already living paycheck to paycheck. How am I going to feed my kids? I won't be able to pay my mortgage. And immediately, your brain pulls out of your memory banks what you heard this morning on the news about these homeless people that had it all one day and the next day they were living on the streets. Now, can you see how this little cascade effect is causing your fear to grow? As a result, you might even try to avoid going to see your boss. You might say to the person, tell her I had to leave because my son's school called. Or you might go in there so afraid, so nervous that it's going to take you hours to get rid of the mess your sprinkler system made. Or maybe you go in there ready for a fight and you walk in and you're mad, you're red-faced and you kind of have fists and you're all tense looking and she looks at you and instead of asking you about the real estate agent, immediately says, what's going on? And you say, okay, I know we had that mix-up last week, but I thought I handled it quite well. And honestly, it was Jane who really messed things up. Ah, can you see how that would not work in your favor? So going back to the fire alarm and sprinkler system, this is like keeping the water on and allowing it to pour down, even though you haven't seen any real signs of fire. This fear is not helping you. Even if it was the example with the lump at the doctor, it's going to cause you to stress out, to snap at your kids, to go into a depression maybe. You're not going to be at your best. If it's the case of the unidentified noise, it might cause you to react really badly, to think that you can fight this person if someone's trying to break into your house. It might cause you to pick up a bat or a gun or, you know, it could do all kinds of things. Staying in a state of fear, which is your fight and flight response, means blood is being diverted from your brain to your muscles. That means you're not as smart as you would be if you worked at staying calm. It sets you up to overreact. It drains you of energy and it uses up hormones and things that you might need right now or later to be at your best. Now, even if the situation had one of the outcomes that you feared, like maybe your boss was about to fire you, or the lump turns out to be malignant, or the noise was someone planning to break into your house and rob you, being in a state of fear is not going to help you be at your best. So keeping the alarm sounding and the sprinkler system running is rarely what is needed at the moment. Now, I always have to address the case of the robber because people always want to talk about that and say, but want to make it stronger and help me if I need to fight. Here's the thing. If you're not trained in that kind of combat, if you're not a cop or something like that, you're always going to be better off avoiding the fight. Remember, that person could be totally strung out. They could be on drugs. They could be very afraid of going to jail. They are desperate. So you need your brain to actually help you recognize what is the most important thing right now. How do I get my kids to safety? Can I get them out the back door? Should I get them up and get them in the closet? Let me grab my cell phone and get it ready to call 911. Or if you've seen that it's people breaking in, call 911. Maybe you turn on an outside light. Maybe you make some big noises. These could all be ways of dealing with the situation rather than thinking you need the extra hormones to fight. Okay? So here's what I want you to get from this. Fear is a natural part of your primitive brain. It is meant to tell you something could be wrong, and for survival's sake, you better check it out. The problem is, if you're not aware of what's going on in your body and you don't know how to turn off the signal, you have a much greater chance of living in fear and having a very soggy existence because of the sprinkler system, which translates into burnt out adrenals, compromised immune system, and so much more. Now, the first step to living fearlessly is to recognize fear is just a signal meant to alert you something's going on. The second step is to stop this alarm from going off all the time. If you're telling yourself that the world is a scary place, that you're going to get hurt, or that your child will never survive, you are wasting your sprinkler system. You're hurting your health, and you're modeling to your child how to suffer through life. Now, there are a lot of ways to get more control over your alarm. So let me see what I can cover for today. We'll probably get through about three of them. When you live in a constant state of fear, anywhere on that spectrum that I mentioned earlier, whether it's anxiety, worry, nervousness, or so on, you will likely slip into what is referred to as victim mode or learned helplessness. You will start seeing yourself as a victim. Now, this completely disconnects you and also perhaps your child from your own natural connection to your resiliency. So living fearlessly means being firmly connected to your resiliency, which means knowing you'll be all right no matter what life throws your way. You might not like how things turn out at the moment anyway. It might hurt. It might force you to let go of things that you don't really want to say goodbye to at the moment, but you still know that you will survive. You are born resilient. We all are. You do not need to learn how to be this way. But unfortunately, what happens is a lot of the external messages coming your way, you know, what people are saying to you, your caregivers, coach, teacher, daycare worker, doctor, not to mention the media, they start throwing gunk onto this connection that you're supposed to have with your resiliency from a very young age. Now, I just did a Facebook Live on this topic in January, so I'm not going to talk about it too much. I've also done a previous Vibrant Powerful Mom show about it. But it's a topic that we never hear enough about because chances are you have a lot of gunk between you and your natural resiliency, and removing it could take a bit of work. So if you don't feel connected to your natural knowledge that you have come here fully equipped to handle whatever life throws your way, working on reconnecting with your resiliency is a really great place to start. Another piece of knowledge that can help you shift out of fear is understanding the difference between your ego and your higher self. I've covered this topic as well on a previous Vibrant Powerful Moms episode, so you can tune into that to learn more about it. But in a nutshell, we all have these two parts to our makeup: the ego, which is the human side, and the higher self, which is your divine connection. The ego is very susceptible to fear, as well as blame, shame, unworthiness, revenge, judgment, all those kinds of feelings. The ego and your human body can be destroyed. It is born and it dies to complete its life cycle. It also is what allows you to feel, to manipulate the physical, and it is the ego that can exercise free will. Now, I know a lot of people diss the ego and act as if an enlightened soul will not have one, but if you don't have one, you're not living, so I really wouldn't be so quick to cash it in. Because of this humanness, the ego, left to its own devices, will give in to fear and defensive behaviors quite easily. It doesn't want to be hurt. It knows its life is finite. And on its own, it can only access the information that you have accumulated in this particular lifetime. The higher self, on the other hand, is the spiritual side of you. It's connected to the divine. It cannot die. Although it is the most powerful part of who you are, it cannot on its own access free will. So in essence, it cannot guide you unless the ego agrees to it. You're born more connected to your higher self than your ego. But very quickly, the density on Earth starts to pull you down into this much darker place. When this happens, the connection often gets lost and your ego ends up trying to run the show. This can make you feel lonely, disconnected, incomplete, and afraid. So to live fearlessly, you need to put your higher self in charge and get your ego into the supportive role. Learn how to separate the ego and higher self, and then work through the process of teaching them to create an interdependent existence where they work together in harmony. Unfortunately, for so many people, their upbringing, culture, job, religion especially, will get in the way of them even exploring the divine side of themselves. They have been taught to totally fear it, which keeps them living in a place of fear. Talk about a catch-22. Another way to move out of fear is to learn how to disconnect from the media, or how to be aware without letting it put you into victim mode. So if you're bothered by the news, global awareness is not your friend, and it is draining you of your vibrancy. Work on reconnecting to your resiliency and your higher self for a while so that you can hear the news without going into a depression. Or tune out of the news completely and don't ever go back, like me. I only say that because I made that choice. I'm very sensitive to the news, and I'd rather get my information other ways than by having it sensationalized for me. Now, if you must tune into the news for personal, professional, or some other reason, learn how to close yourself off from the negative energy and practice holding space for the people or situations that you're seeing. When you can watch the news with curiosity and compassion, you're in a good place. Sending love and healing energy to people suffering tragedy is not woo-woo or ineffective. It does make a difference. When you are overwhelmed with sadness, fear, anger, judgment, blame, etc., your ego is running the show. If this happens, tell your ego to sit, ask your higher self to be in charge. You should feel a shift into compassion. If you don't, then you might want to spend more time understanding the difference between these two parts of yourself and playing with separating them out from each other, preferably while avoiding the news. Now, if you watch the news and you're not bothered by it, you may have numbed out to your natural ability for compassion. This is also draining your vibrancy and can make you a lousy person to be around. So if this is your experience, you might want to find a guide, a book, a program to help you tune back into your natural guidance system. Compartmentalizing feelings is a skill that many people in the helping professions learn how to do in order to continue going to work every day without burning out. Even these people have to learn how to process these emotions at some point and to ensure they are allowing themselves to feel in other areas of their life. Now, I feel like we've covered enough for today. So in summary, notice your fear alarm and start practicing turning it off. This involves controlling your thoughts, opening your mind up to see different perspectives, having plenty of tools like breathing techniques to help you. Number 2, uncover your connection to your resiliency. Reflect back on your life. Think about things that have happened that seemed insurmountable at the time, and yet you managed to overcome them. Tune in to how you survived the unsurvivable, no matter how big or how small it might seem to have been, because this highlights your natural resiliency. Number three, tune out the news or learn ways to hear it without having those messages pull you down into the heaviness or density of the world. This goes way beyond just the news, of course. We're talking about social media and gossip at work and everything. But for now, this is a good place to start. And then finally, if you haven't already, start learning about your higher self and your ego. This is a big area, and really a lot of what I do with people when I work with them one-on-one or in small groups is help them to really get a grip on how to differentiate the two. Learn how to integrate them so that your divine side can run the show with the trusty ego sitting beside you for support and to allow you to have a human experience. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.